Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And today we have the beautiful Linus Woods Mullins. I am so excited to talk to her. She is a trailblazer when in the areas of holistic health, women's issues, business, finance, and the metamorphosis of change. Thank you so much for being with me, Linus. Welcome to On the Edge.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you today. I just love your energy, April, and thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit of mine.
Well, you are on fire, okay? So somebody better get a fire extinguisher because this is about to get hot up in here. Thank you. You are beautiful as ever.
Thank you. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
I'll be 65 in just a couple months.
Really? When's your birthday?
June 3rd.
June 3rd. Mine's August 17th, and I'll be 60.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, join the 60 crowd. It's last.
Well, you know what? 60 is sexy, okay?
Yes, it is. Yes,
because
it
we
is.
Are in our element, okay?
Absolutely.
We have arrived. We have
absolutely
arrived. And I relish it. Some folks can't get to 16.
That's true.
Much less 60.
And many are not. Many are not getting to that these days. You know, it's unfortunate.
And it's about the evolution. It's about the change. People want to stay stuck.
Nope. You got to change. You have to roll with the punches. You have to change. It cannot always be your way. You have to kind of adapt as long as you're not selling yourself out.
Would you want to be 20 again, 2025?
Oh, hell no. No. I used to remember when I was in my 20s and in my early 30s, I used to thank God all the time that I didn't have children because at least they didn't have to go through my shit.
Wow. You know? What was your age of evolution? What was your age of just awakening?
Oh, probably about 62.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I was in my 40s.
No.
Well,
oh, yeah.
My libido got an extra charge.
Well, if you're talking about that kind of awakening, that would be earlier. But in terms of just really doing me and really, you know, realizing why I was put here on this earth, letting go of the need to please disease, letting go of feeling not enough, of just so many different things that women have that they don't really, really ever completely let go of, or sometimes they take it back. But at, yeah, right around 62, totally free from all
really?
That stuff. Yeah,
well,
totally.
I'm finding 60, and I'm finding it. I'm looking for it. I don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it is going to be different. You know, today is the anniversary of the passing of my mother for 1 year.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? It was a beautiful transition, and we were peanut butter and jelly. So I want for nothing. But now I really feel like a grown up because I am by myself.
Yes, I lost my dad at 62. And my mom, though, she was killed unexpectedly. She was hit by a fire truck on her way to work.
Wow.
And so she was only 56. And so that was really a shock. And when he left, I realized, wow, the two people on earth who love me unconditionally are gone. I mean, I have my husband, and I would say that he probably does love me as unconditionally as any other human being can. That's not your parent.
Right.
But it's
right,
still
right.
Different. It's still
right.
Different. You
oh,
know?
It is different. That's
why I say 62. That's why I say 62 as well, because I realize the importance of unconditionally loving myself. Otherwise, all bets were off. You know, and I have four daughters who love me very much.
Oh, you got four daughters?
I have four daughters.
Well, you are courageous because I had one. I was one and done. I was like, okay.
I was basically pregnant for 10 years. They're ages 37, 35, almost 35, just turned 33 and 30.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They are wonderful people. They're beautiful inside and out. I have to say, I'm so proud of them. They're raising me now.
I know. Well, my daughter is, you know, but in all honesty, in all transparency, I've been riding her like a freight train, really. And I have to get over because she's really cool people. Everybody's got their own little quirks and their own
have
little
to let them do
nuances.
their journey. That's the
I
other
have
thing
to
too.
let her, right.
At 62, I definitely let go of helicopter parenting physically, but emotionally, I let go of that about a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, because we were very close. We talked to each other just about every day. We text each other continuously. We FaceTime each other about every day. And that's a lot when you have four of them. That's a lot.
That's a lot
That's a
of
lot.
work, right? And
That's
you
you
got
know what?
four different female minds that you're
Oh my
molding
God,
from
and
your
hormones.
perspective. Yeah, from your perspective. And I pour everything into my daughter, everything. And I have this expectation of her that she should be where I am at 60 in her 30s. And that's not the real.
No, it's a whole different world in terms of what they're dealing with now in their 30s versus what we were dealing with now in their 30s. It's just a whole thing, and it's their journey to take. I finally have arrived. It's their journey to take. I am there to be a coach, a mentor, and a friend, but no longer like an apparent telling you what to do.
Right.
I can make suggestions, I can encourage, I can mentor, I do lots of praying. But telling them what to do, waste of time because they're going to go ahead and do what they want. They'll be like, and then do what they want to do anyway. Just think about what it
Yeah,
was with you.
and my son, I have a bonus son. They say we listen to everything you say, but I can't tell you that we're going to actually put into it.
Right.
But
They're
what we're going to
seasoned
put
in
into it,
fighting.
we're going to put into it is more into this conversation. Brains, look, where are we? We are on the edge with
Hello,
Lynn
brains.
Woods Mullins.
See, where's
I
mine?
can't.
That
I have
is my
been
good
waiting for
one.
this. Yes, I have been waiting to have her on the show with us. She's an amazing woman. And I mean, her following and what she's pouring into women and the expectation that she puts. Now, we just had this great conversation. She doesn't put that expectation on those four daughters, but she sure do put it on her followers.
Well, I don't know. That consciously, I look at it this way. There is no secret sauce or anything like that in terms of being vibrant and, really showing up in midlife. The only secret sauce is just the knowledge that you can if you want to. It's all up to you. And those conversations you have between the two ears in your mind in
Right.
terms of what you're telling yourself. And I just decided, definitely, like I said, at 62, I decided that I am enough as I am right now. And I like that. Am I going to keep working on improving? Yes, because that is just how I am. But if you like who you are and you're not working on improving, that's okay too.
Yeah,
Is
because I'm at
it
that place. I'm digging it right now. I'm digging it right now. But again, like I said, I'm still trying to maneuver. I'm still trying to navigate because there's been a calling that's been given to me. There's something that I need to do, and I don't know what it is. I'm listening for it. I'm being patient. Whatever it is, I'm going to act upon it. But it is, what is, again, that expectation? So that's what people put on themselves. The expectations of others, friends, spouses, coworkers, girlfriends, your children. But you can't depend on anybody to do anything but the person that you're staring in the mirror. That's the only one that you can
That's
control.
true. That's very true. I realized pretty early on as I was going through my metamorphosis of healing from an anxiety disorder that I was a people pleaser and also a controller, which is crazy. It's two dichotomies, and
Right,
therein
I'm like, how
lies,
do you know what?
yeah,
That's a
therein lies the
couple.
reason why I had an anxiety disorder. You can't do both. And it came from having a traumatic experience, as I mentioned earlier, with my mother being killed by being hit by a fire truck on her way to work. And it was interesting because I had just seen her, and my father had called me and said, I need you to go to the family home and wait. Mom's been in an accident, and I'll call you there. And this was back in 1989, before cell phones and all that. And I just had a baby. She was 5 or 6 weeks old. And the way I found out that she didn't make it was just so shocking because I was in the mode of trying to get in touch with some people to come over and be with me while I waited to hear. And so I didn't have a cell phone back then, and I had left my Franklin planner at home in a rush to get to my dad's house, but back then it was Franklin planners. And I called my mom's secretary because my mom had all my best friend's telephone numbers on a Rolodex. And at that time, I couldn't remember any numbers. I just knew I need to call somebody to come and stay with me. So her secretary picked up the phone, and she said, when she heard my voice, she said, oh, Linus, and I told her what I wanted. She says, oh, Linus, I can understand why you would want to have somebody with you at a time like this. And I said, yes. And she said, you know, we loved your mother. And I said, loved? As in ED, you mean she's gone? And then she's like, oh, I thought you knew. And I could hear her drop the phone and she's crying. And then I could hear in the background people crying in the office and everything, because the accident had happened maybe a block away from the office, and they heard the crash, they heard the sound. And so that's when I found out that my mother hadn't made it. And I know, based upon all the therapy and the work that I've done on myself, it was at that moment that I decided I wouldn't have any more surprises and that I was going to control the outcome no matter what. Mm. And this was done subconsciously, you know, over time, till finally, fast forward 20 years later, I, you know, could not control one more thing. I couldn't put one more thing in my emotional closet. I could not hide from it any longer. And it all just came tumbling out. And the end result of going to therapy and getting better was that I decided to walk away from corporate America and to work on creating programs and things that would help women not go through what I went through. Not that you don't go through the tragedy, but how to cope when you do. And if you do end up with the anxiety and the depression and everything else, the emotional eating and all the other things that happen in midlife, because at that time I was 31, but the actual symptoms of everything showing up didn't really show up until I was about 52. That took 20 years for me to really deal with it. It's, you know, hopefully to help women not go through that kind of a journey and be having, giving them the tools from a holistic perspective, you know, to deal with all their different.
Well, you know, they don't think that there is a hereafter. They think that it's finality. They think that it's actually over. When you have a tragedy, I had a friend of mine that lost three, you know, the husband, the brother, the mother, the mother-in-law, all within like 2 years. And I mean, wow. These are people with 30 to 35 years experience. How do you process that? How do you even begin to, you know, number one, not be angry with God?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I also learned the value of one day at a time and staying present. People normally who suffer from anxiety, they're really trying to control the future, things that haven't happened, or they're stuck in the past and they take those feelings that have happened to them in the past and apply them to what could possibly happen in the future. And that is really what drives you to that.
That was a conversation I just had with my mentor. We were in the car. And I was telling her about something that's going on. And I said, and you know, this has happened before. And she says, okay, I need you to stop right there. She says, you are framing a new picture in an old frame. You've learned, you've evolved, you've moved, you've done the work, but now you're not allowing it to do what it do. Mm. You're trying to, you know, you're changing it and you're writing the old narrative. Allow for that old experience to have happened, learn from it, but now you can reshape it. And when she said that, Linus, the light bulb went off. It was like, wow, you know, I have an opportunity to change.
Absolutely.
It's just like people that are on drugs or, you know, maybe you have severe depression and a bad relationship. You're there right now. But in the next second, you can opt to make a change. You don't have to wait till the next day. You don't have to wait till your therapist calls. You don't have to wait till your husband gets home to make a decision. You can make that decision right now. And that's staying in the present. I get you. 110%.
Absolutely. And I think everybody makes that decision. Hopefully they do at some point, but at different times in their lives. And sometimes that decision changes, and that's fine too. But the main thing is, it's never too late to make that change, whatever it is that you need to do to feel well in your mind, body, and spirit, whatever's going on. It's never too late. And to just simply sit back and say, oh, well, this is just the way it is, to allow life happen to you instead of you happening to life, something that I think we all need to think about and change, because some things are going to happen, of course, and there's going to be tragedy, but you can decide how you're going to journey through that. Guaranteed it's a journey. Guaranteed there's going to be some pain involved. But see, that's the other thing about learning to lean into your pain, if that makes any sense, because there's so much value in that part of your journey. Because on the other side of pain, there is this revelation of a different kind of a joy. Because when you come through that, or when you make the changes necessary to endure that, then all of a sudden you get this other metamorphosis that happens. There's growth that happens during that process. And I've learned the value of that journey. It's not even so much about the destination, because you know inevitably what's going to be happening with us at the end, but it's all about what you learn along the way that makes life so beautiful.
I understand. Dial back a little bit. Tell my brains a little bit about your experience and, you know, how you've grown up in the world.
How I've grown up in the world. Well, I think probably the best thing I've ever done, bar none, no matter what happens from this day on, is raising my four daughters at a time which was really kind of a utopian time in many ways. You know, they grew up in the 90s and the early 2000s, I guess. And those were good times in many ways in my life in terms of, you know, my success in corporate America and all that. But one of the things that was happening to me that I didn't even realize was, first of all, I had post-traumatic stress as a result of, you know, what happened with my mom and how I heard about it and didn't even know I had it. But the other thing was I was climbing that corporate ladder with little ones, traveling all over literally the world, each time getting another promotion with more responsibility, more stress, and not paying any attention to the signs in terms of what was going on with me. I looked one way, I looked fine, you know, on the outside, but on the inside, I was beginning to pile up a lot of unwellness from an emotional perspective. And when I had that event one day, waking up in the morning and not being able to stop crying, going to emergency, and my coworkers, because I happen to have been in charge of nurse recruitment for a few hospitals, and my office was out of one of the hospitals, and you know, having my, you know, the hospital administrator and the DON and everybody else telling me that you need to take a break, you know, and so I did, and it was when I took that break, when I slowed down enough to catch up with myself, I realized that something was seriously wrong. And I did not heal overnight. I did not. But I did make the decision to walk away from corporate America because that was just all too encompassing. I've been doing it for 25 years and I knew there was something else. I didn't know exactly what, but I knew there was something else that would allow me to use a whole nother side of myself that I had just allowed to be dormant. And that was that creative side of me, the right side that was that wasn't a conformist, that was, you know, because working in corporate America, you become a conformist in many ways. That side of me that was nonconformist, that was definitely more connected to who I am as an African-American woman, all of that. And so it was interesting what metamorphosed. If you were to take a look at me when I first started my business, at 51 and look at me now at 64, you could tell it's still me, but there's a light in my eyes now that I didn't have then. I definitely am thicker, but that's okay. I mean, why would I want to be a size 4 at 64 if that's, you know, that's not what my body's supposed to be doing right now.
Right.
But basically, I have the wrinkles, a lot of gray hair and everything else, but I also have joy.
Let me tell you about that striking silver hair. I got a little bit over here. You know what? That is absolutely gorgeous. When did you start turning gray?
I started turning gray probably in my late 40s, but I was dyeing my hair, perming my hair and all of that. But one of the first things that went when I left corporate America was that expensive trip to the salon. I was looking for ways to cut expenses. I'm an entrepreneur now, right? But the other thing was, and this was a gift from God, really, I developed a serious allergic reaction to hair dye.
Let me interrupt right there because people don't really realize what is seeping into your brain. And when you put on these chemically treated perms, straighteners, all these different colors, purple, pink, blue, you know, I have a friend that developed the Jerry curl here in San Diego, Dr. Morrow. And he was telling me, he said, baby, do you know that contributes to dementia?
When I think about, and I was dyeing my hair and perming my hair up until about 50, 51. And I even would still try to dye my hair, even though the allergic reaction would be that everything around me would swell up like a Star Trek character. I mean, I would be all swollen up in here. My scalp would ooze. I mean, it was a hot mess.
But no! Yet still,
I ended up in emergency 2 or 3 times. I had to carry an EpiPen with me. That's how bad it was. And I was willing to do that, to look a certain way until I was like, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And I stopped it. Plus, it was against my messaging when it came to being a holistic person. But it was interesting, my metamorphosis, to get it to look like this. I went through all kinds of different things trying to get that look, whatever it was.
Well, I know. And like I said, and I'm looking at my...
I love your natural.
Well, it's getting, you know, it's getting thinner. And I'm saying, okay, now, is this just a part of the age process? Or is this, you know, thyroid or whatever the situation may be? But I just put some oil in it, some gel, and rock it. And if I want to look like Kim or Susie or Betty or Shaniqua or whatever, I have 32 options in there. I can be, I told myself, baby, I can be anybody you want. Blonde, red. I love to wear hair options. I don't call them wigs. Wigs sound so weird. But it's a choice, and it's fun, and it's freeing. It's fashionable. Have you ever worn a wig?
You know, I have bought several wigs in my time, and I never had the courage to wear them. And also, they were kind of uncomfortable because my hair was super, super thick.
It is.
And thick. Yeah, and then I, you know, would braid it up or whatever, and it would just feel like I had on this skull cap. So I gave up on I bought stretch wigs and things like that, but I never did really wear them. I think one time during my metamorphosis, when I was in my 50s, I got, it wasn't a weave, it was something else, but it was itching me. So that didn't work. So I just said, forget it. I'm just wearing my hair.
So when you came out of the cocoon and you spread your wings as this beautiful butterfly, tell us what you did. Tell us about your business.
Well, I first thought what I would do was to teach women over 40 how to dance. I've been a dancer all my life. I started at 4 years old. I studied all through school, was a dance minor in college, and danced professionally. So I thought, okay, I'm going to dance. I'm going to teach women how to dance. I'm going to open up a dance studio for women over 40. And I began to do that. But I quickly found out that they needed so much more than just dance. I mean, dance is freeing. It's good for the spirit. It is good for the body. But these women had other issues around obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, issues around the empty nest syndrome, anxiety, just a lot of different things they were dealing with. And so that's when I said, okay, I need to figure out what else I can do to help women besides just dancing. And so I began. I didn't want to go back to college or go back and get another grad degree. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get the necessary certifications to say I had them, but I felt I had a lot of life experience to share as well at that point. And so I began creating programs to help women to cope better during their midlife journey, with an emphasis on wellness, on nutrition, and on holistic practices, different things that maybe they're not hearing from their doctors that they can do from a proactive measure, or also to actually deal with causation and not just symptoms. And the more I got into that, the more I realized that I had hit that, I have found that part of me that had been dormant for so long, and that was being creative, solving problems in a creative way, not being typical.
You had said that you were recruiting nurses. Was that a part of your background, nursing?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. My major was journalism, actually, and I got into human resources maybe about 5 years after college, something like that. Mm-hmm. I just got lucky. And as they say, because a lot of people think, oh, human resources. And it was a great career. I started out as a generalist, became an HR manager, then a recruiter, then a recruiting manager, and then a director, then a VP. So it was a great, great career. It was a cush career because they pay a lot of money because I was in healthcare. So it was even more money. But the thing that I began to have an issue with over time was that I was involved in the system that basically was counting butts in beds. Making sure we had enough butts in beds, because that's how we made money. Because quite frankly, we are a country where healthcare is for profit.
Well, I mean, again, well, people don't make money.
Right, exactly. So I just couldn't sit in one more meeting. I mean, that's where my epiphany came. Like when I woke up one more morning and just couldn't go to work because I couldn't stop crying. The reality was I was hiring these nurses to take care of sick people as a result of us growing the need for more sick people. I mean, you know, and I just had a problem with that. I just had a basic fundamental problem with that. And so I really totally changed the trajectory of my thoughts in terms of what part I wanted to play in the whole healthcare thing. And I decided I wanted to play the education, prevention, holistic, you know, hopefully no surgeries, hopefully no pharmaceuticals. Totally different from where I came from. But I saw, you know, subconsciously and now very consciously, the impact of that, what it does to our doctors, what it does to our nurses. I mean, so many doctors, so funny, a lot of them maybe take an integrative approach and going back to school to get educated on nutrition and things like that. Nurses are trying to figure out a way to get off the floors and do something else. Well, no one, you know, really likes.
I really looked at that. I looked at that and it is amazing. I have a lot of nurses that are on my show and they are really going into the integrative medicine and mm-hmm. holistic approach. They are becoming hospice providers mm-hmm. and palliative care. They see life and death. They understand what these medications that we're taking, the risks that people are taking. They're seeing families torn apart. And also the technology that's required from nurses. I knew. I see them push the button, this, that, and the other. Girl, they got heart monitors that they're watching and, you know, distribution of medicine, medication. One nurse, bless her heart, she just got convicted because she gave somebody the wrong medicine. And yeah. There's no, we are all human beings and we're all going to make mistakes. I hope that never happens to any of us brains, but stuff is going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. I probably have hired 1,000 nurses in my career at least, or was part of a hiring process for thousands of nurses. And one of the things that I noticed about them, the first thing was that most nurses are teachers. They want to teach. They want to help. They want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And one of the things that I noticed about nurses, and actually they became some of my first clients, is that the lack of self-care that they do for themselves, which is a very interesting example, since they're supposed to be taking care of others, but it also feeds into the whole thing of what happens with women in general in terms of caring for everybody else and putting ourselves on the back burner with the intention of doing something at some point. But then when we reach back there, we're so far back there, it's really difficult to take ourselves and pull ourselves up without some help.
Especially after a 14-hour shift.
Oh yeah. You don't feel like doing some of the other things, you know, you need to do. And so they became some of my first clients, nurses, because many of them were obese. Many of them had high blood pressure, their eating habits, even were out to lunch. And it wasn't that they didn't know better. It's just they needed the motivation and a simple way, a simple approach, because many times it's the small incremental changes that we need to make. Yeah,
absolutely. So tell us about your social media presence. You are, of course, you're a force. People love you. They follow you. They connect with you. But, you know, that social media platform is changing. The algorithm is a lot different. Tell me how you show up there.
Well, it's interesting because when I first started this, I'm telling you, April, I had not done any marketing research at all. It was definitely a soul thing. It was definitely a kismet thing. And so I quickly found out after about a few months that my demographic wasn't even online like that. You know, the 40 plus was not online in 2008 like that. And they definitely weren't purchasing coaching services or anything like that online. So I had to come up with creative ways to get their attention. And so I did. I think I've done just about everything that you can do online. I have an online magazine. I have podcasts. I have a large group on Facebook. I'm pretty much relevant on Instagram and Clubhouse. And the way that I've stayed relevant is that I have looked at each platform to determine, is this where my niche is? Is this where the women are that want to talk to me?
And because, are you communicating to them in their
language? Right, in ways they want to hear.
Yeah, and I try to be different people on Instagram than you do from Facebook to Twitter.
Absolutely right.
I've learned to master that as well. People, you know, I saw this young girl, bless her heart, with a bikini picture on LinkedIn. I'm like, that's maybe not the
right. Yeah, obviously not knowing what to do there. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because I've also learned to have, you know, what's hot, what's not, because, you know, different mediums are hot at different times in terms of what people are looking at. Also, even with all of that, I really do run my business and especially my social media presence intuitively. Absolutely. Sometimes I'll do a reel and I'll know when I post it. that's not going to get a lot of views. And it's not because it's not good. It's just whatever reason, I just can feel it. And there's other times I'm like, you know what? That probably wasn't the best role I've ever done, but I think it's going to, and sure enough, within, you know, 2 minutes, 2,000 views. And I'm like, what? And I took so much time on the other one. So I've learned to not be totally vested in it, put it out there, let it go, go somewhere else, do something else. And that's really how I grew my platform. I would do the due diligence. I'm very, very consistent. I'm very disciplined, but I also don't take myself so seriously. You know, do it, move on to something else. Because social media is a means to an end. It's just a way for people to get to know me a little bit, because people do business with folks that they know, like, and trust.
Absolutely. And they've been introduced to. And I tell people all the time, you know, this world is a big old oyster and we're little bitty pearls. There's 7 billion people plus on the planet, and you get saturated. You're marketing to the same 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 people. And they go, oh my God, here comes an email from April and Linus. What are they doing now?
Right.
When you are not exploring your options globally, a lot of times people want to stay, oh, in my community, or they want to stay in my city or my state. We need to have a global presence.
You have to have a global presence.
And what you're offering, what you're speaking to, what you're doing is going to impact every single woman that walks this planet. If she's 2 years old, evolving, or if she's 60, I mean, or if she's 90 and she's expiring. Whatever you're doing, again, it is a continuous metamorphosis of change. Absolutely. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to work with you, to continue to follow you. You are definitely a trailblazer.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, the best way, quite frankly, is my Linktree link. And I need to memorize what it is. It's really simple, but let me look at it so I can say it correctly, because that has everything on there. It's time for me to update my website as well, because I keep flowing. I'm very fluid, and I have found that being fluid, websites don't always work well for that. Websites are basically for information. You know, right. It's not and where I don't sell it. From it. Yeah.
They spend so much money on websites now, and people just really want a landing page. They want to know how to get in contact.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what you got going on. Yeah. Okay. They can go to my Linktree/Linus. So it's LinkedIn, and then period EE, and then /Linus.
So be sure to put that down, and I'm going to put it in the show notes, and I'm going to put it at the back end of the interview. And I just thank you so much for taking the time out to, you know, to get to know you. I've been watching you from afar. You have been so gracious and generous. You always share my video and my post with individuals. I try to give you the best and the brightest to share with
your audience. And you do.
And it has just really been an amazing experience. And I'm just so glad that you are here with me on the edge. Brains, okay, look, we're all organic, number one. We're all going to expire, okay? But why don't we expire and leave some seeds? Why don't we plant some seeds of goodness so that the next generation can flourish, that they can grow, and they can evolve, and they can have their own metamorphosis of change? If you are going through trauma, if you are having health challenges, maybe you just need a good girlfriend to talk to. This is one place to check out here, and that's another place over there to check out there. And between the two, you can't lose. Thank you so much again, Linus. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, April, for the opportunity. It's wonderful spending this time with you.
All right. Have a good day, brains.